Chapter 3. Amsterdam Spring. I arrived in Amsterdam at 9:30 on Monday morning. I rang Ellie van Praagh of the Dutch police from Schiphol Airport. Ellie was the friend I had made during the case of the stolen paintings 2 years ago. Ellie wasn't working that morning, and we arranged to meet 2 hours later at a cafe we knew in the Jordaan, an old part of Amsterdam. That would give me time to go to my hotel and check in. I caught the train from the airport and took a taxi into the center from Central Station. The Echo had booked me into a hotel on the Keizersgracht. There were a lot of visitors in Amsterdam in spring, and good rooms were difficult to find. The hotel wasn't very nice, but I didn't expect to be staying long. I left my bag and went to meet Ellie. Ellie was already at the cafe when I arrived, sitting at a table outside, next to the Prinsengracht Canal. She smiled and stood up as she saw me coming, and kissed me 3 times in the Dutch way. "Hey, Kate, wonderful to see you," she said. Ellie was typically Dutch, if there is such a thing. She was tall and very blonde and looked like a sportswoman. In fact, she was a very good cyclist, and when she wasn't fighting crime in Amsterdam, was usually to be found cycling hundreds of kilometers around Holland with a number on her back. She looked like the daughter of a Dutch farmer, which she was, with red cheeks and bright blue eyes. And like most Dutch people of her age, she was in her early 30s, she spoke English very well. We sat down and ordered coffee. It was a fine spring day. The sky was blue, with little white clouds here and there. "I'm sorry about your friend," Ellie said. "Yes," I said, staring at the red and white tablecloth. "It's really sad." I told her about my meeting with Max just a few days ago. "He seemed to be happy, and said the club was doing okay," I added. Ellie wasn't a football fan, and knew nothing about the Rotterdam club. She did know about crime in Amsterdam, though. De Pijp, where Max had died, was one of the oldest parts of the city, a lively place with a wonderful street market at its center, on a street called Albert Cuypstraat. Last time I was in Amsterdam, I had gone shopping there for Dutch cheese and tulips to take home. It was strange to think that this lovely, colorful place was where Max had lost his life. "De Pijp is getting quite dangerous these days, Kate," Ellie said. "There have been quite a number of stabbings and shootings. We've been busy down there." "So it just looks like it was a mugging that went wrong," I asked. The waiter arrived with the coffees. Ellie's black, and mine coffee verkeerd, or wrong coffee, the Dutch name for coffee with milk. Ellie had ordered a cake, too. All that crime-fighting and cycling made her hungry. Said Ellie, drinking some of her strong black coffee. "I'm afraid that's what it looks like, Kate. He was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. Poor guy," she added. "Of course, there will have to be a post-mortem." The police always asked for the examination of a body found like this. I thought of Max lying dead, with 20 knife wounds in his body. I felt cold, although the spring air was warm. "So who found him?" I asked.
"We did. Well, one of the police teams going round the city late Thursday night," Ellie replied.
Thursday. Just 2 days after I had met Max at the Queen's Head. I looked out over the canal. It was a lovely, warm day, and the streets and bridges over the canals were full of people on bikes or on foot. It was beautiful, It was hard to think that Max was dead, and even harder to imagine that he had died in Amsterdam. It was such a lovely city.
He was staying at the Tulip Inn on Spoustraat, said Ellie.
I didn't know the hotel, but I knew that Spoustraat was right in the old centre of the city.
They didn't find much on his body at all, just the usual, she said.
Just the usual. In death, people were almost the same. Some money, perhaps, a few business cards, perhaps some photographs of the family. Except Max didn't have much family. His wife had died years ago, and they didn't have any children. There was just his brother, Tom.
Did the killer take his money, then? I asked. If it was a mugging, surely the only reason could be money.
Well, the police couldn't find his wallet, she said.
Of course, that meant nothing, I thought. If someone wanted to make it look like a mugging, the first thing they would do was take money.
We think that he probably fought back and his attacker went mad. It happens, said Ellie.
It certainly did.
Why did he stay the night? I asked. Why didn't he just go back to The Hague? It's only 40 minutes or so on the train.
I knew that Max lived near The Hague. He had asked me to stay at his house a few times, although I never had. I never seemed to have time. Now I would never have the chance.
He must have had a business meeting the next morning. Apparently he often stayed in Amsterdam, Ellie said. The hotel manager said he'd stayed at that hotel before.
Ellie got up to go to work.
Who's in charge of Max's case? I asked.
Joop de Vries, murder squad, she said. Her face told me that she didn't like him much.
Oh, yes, she added, as she unlocked her bike and got on it. There was a card with a name and address in Max's pocket. I took a note of it.
She put her hand in her jacket pocket and brought out a piece of paper with something written on it. She gave it to me. It said, Jos van Essen, Oudeschans 141. I didn't know much about football, but I knew that name. Jos van Essen was one of the greatest footballers of all time.